Okay, I want to welcome everyone here to the call this morning. And Mark is on vacation, and so we're going to continue on. And so I want to start the morning just seeing what people are going to accomplish today. Who all is on the call? I want to get a list of the names, so I have that in front of me here.
Sure. So right now we have Nicole, Bruce, and Patrick, and then you and myself.
Okay. And so, Nicole, you were the first one, I think, that spoke up. So what are you going to accomplish this morning?
Well, it's my first time back on the call since we were out in Chicago back in, what was it, June or May or June. So I kind of want to get an idea of, you know, what the goal is for our team now going out in August.
Okay. Now, have you all in the office had any communications about what your strategy is going to be?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. What is the theme going to be for September? Do we?
It is for August, and it's Client for Life.
Oh, August, Client for Life. Okay. Okay, well, Nicole, what does a client for life mean to you all at Tanglewood?
When I think of a client for life, I think of somebody who not only have we have a great business relationship, we have a great personal relationship with them, somebody that not only that we feel confident in them, they feel confident in us, in anything that they need. We can call upon on them for, you know, anything, if we need services or if, you know, we need a referral or a review, things like that.
Okay. So in the work that you do, what do you do to help build those relationships?
I'm thinking. Well, I know Alan and Nancy over the years have built a couple relationships. I know right now we're working on different strategies as to how we can start building new relationships with some of our clients. But right now I'm not sure of any other ways that we do personally try to build more clients for life. Patrick, I don't know if you're thinking of anything that I can at this moment.
Well, I'm just processing this. Do you know which aspect of the meeting you'll be sharing in August when you come out?
I won't be out in August. I will be in the October one.
Oh, you've been the October one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just listening in to see what they're doing for August.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, then let's see what we find, and along the way, I guess you can be making notes, and I trust this will be beneficial for you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Patrick, are you going to be out here in August, or are you going to be here in September? Or I'm sorry, October.
I am going to be out there in August. I'm going to be emceeing the event. And then we have Delphina and Jason and Carly, who will be coming out with me, who hopefully will be on the call today, if they're not already. And talking about clients for life, one of the things that we're hoping on doing on this event is having Nancy speak a little bit in the beginning, maybe in the welcome, about what she has done to create a client for life. I think of like the warm belly rub principle and, you know, how we can duplicate that, you know, what they've done in the past that's created that client for life. And it's, you know, and how we put that into a process, not just, you know, accidentally, you know, as I think Alan and Nancy have said, they've kind of just stumbled upon it and it's happened, but figuring out how they made that happen, I think would be key for us.
Okay. Well, Nicole defined what she felt a client for life was. How would your definition or understanding of that be similar, or is there anything in addition to that that you would place on that?
That would be similar. I think to me, like seeing a, having a client for life, like, you know, I know there's at least two clients that I know of that Alan and Nancy have a relationship where, you know, they're friends, you know, like they, like one of them, you know, invited them to go out to Italy with them. So they're out in Italy having a vacation with them, you know, on top of, you know, meeting some vendors. So that right there tells you, you know, that's a, you know, you've definitely created a client for life if they're inviting you to go on a vacation with you.
Okay.
So things of that nature, you know, there's other ones that, you know, we've done just multiple projects for, which is pretty unusual in the conservatory business. Most people usually only buy one conservatory in their life, not, you know, multiple things in their on their homes. So that's another one that I could think of. And so how do we, you know, how do we do that with everybody that we work with?
Okay, so as you look at the whole operation of Tanglewood, how do you see that each of the employees could embrace the concept of what they're doing is not just to make earn an income, but is to contribute to a cause that is even higher than what they have?
Well, I think to me a lot of it comes back to tying it back to their own life vision, you know, so that they can see the value of what they're doing and how that's, you know, what they're here, you know, why they're here on this planet, that they're doing what they should be doing. And if you're doing that, then I think you can realize the benefit that you're going to have if you're able to create these relationships. Because, I mean, for me, and I don't know if this is for everyone, but, you know, when you create that kind of relationship, it's more than just a great financial relationship you end up with, but it becomes a friendship, and you build these, you know, networks with so many different people. And it's very rewarding just from getting to know these people and become friends with them, and you know, meeting the people that they know, and so it's you know, it's not just a financial benefit, but there's a larger benefit, and a lot of our employees have an opportunity of being able to do that. You know, our installers probably have the biggest opportunity because they're out at their home for, you know, a month or two at a time. There's lots of people who, you know, speak to their clients throughout the entire project. You know, so they could have that ability to do that and see the benefit of it.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. So as being the MC, you're going to be getting ready for that. Do you have an idea of how you're going to function in that capacity?
I would say I have an idea. There are some spots I'm trying to fill. Is Kevin on the line by chance? Is he on the call?
I am.
Awesome. I was looking to see the last section when we talk about next month, if you'd be willing to do that part.
Sure.
Okay. That would be great. So then I think I have all the segments filled. So, you know, my plan we'll use obviously the normal lineup. What I'd like to do and what I'm aiming to do is to kind of kick it off and introduce Nancy to see if she can talk about how she created a client for life, and then kind of take that same theme throughout so that people can start thinking about whether it was intentional or not intentional, some of the things she may have used from the boss system that helped create that client for life, and hoping that we can get a lot of people thinking about what aspects of the boss system are going to, in that system are going to create that client for life as we go throughout the seminar, and then, how they can use that to turn that into making money.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is a point of clarification for me, and some others might want, I would appreciate your input. The expressive person and the amiable are more concerned about relationships with people than what the driver and the analytical might be.
Yep,
and so the concept that the client for life deals with relationships, it's based on the concept of a relationship. And I think, as Nicole shared earlier, that in some of this, there might just be one sale to a family, not multiple sales or to a client. But so after the transaction is completed, then how does the driver and the analytical embrace the value of client for life when relationships are not at the forefront of their thinking?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Being a driver primarily and analytical secondary, I guess I could just speak for myself, and maybe that would help. For me, even though I guess relationships are not my highest priority, I understand the importance of relationships, and I appreciate the relationships I have. I have fewer relationships, but most of the relationships I have are much deeper relationships. The benefit, if you want to look at it from a purely, selfish reason, is that by building those relationships, you can generate, you think about and you say, well, okay, they may only buy one in their life. That may be the case, but they may be able to provide you hundreds of referrals if you build a client for life, which is going to generate a lot more income for your company. They may be able to provide you all those magic seeds that you need to put back into your marketing and bring back around so that you can bring in, more clients. They can also give us the ability, a lot of our clients that we've created clients for life with, they allow us to take new or potential clients and have them visit their house and visit the conservatory so they can go and see it, which is a huge benefit to us to be able to do that. So just from a, non-relational standpoint of, why there'd be a benefit besides the friendship that you get, there's a whole other aspect. Now, to me, even though I'm a driver analytical, I still, deeply value that relationship that you get, because it's on such a deeper level. It's the superficial relationships that really don't mean anything to me, just having a lot of acquaintances is not something that's, important to me, but having, if I had a thousand deep relationships, that'd be awesome. That's harder to do, But that's what I prefer to have, is a deep relationship with someone and not just a superficial one. That's not important to me as a driver.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps at all.
It does. Okay. On this topic, does anyone else have any comments? Patrick, I appreciate what you shared. I think you're on target there. I like that. What are some other thoughts on this?
This is Carly.
Hi, Carly.
Hi. I was listening to what Patrick said, or what you brought up about, you know, we just have a customer who buys one time from us and how that turns into a client for life. And I think I'm more amiable and I worry about the relationships, but if they buy from us once, anytime they call us even for service or anything like that, it's how that relationship is handled at that point that can keep building on. You know, if we handle it well and make them feel like they're the most important thing to us, and, you know, that can build into something else down the road, whether it counts towards your touches and referrals. I think that's important as well.
Okay.
And how we service that. That's my thoughts.
What role do you play there at Tanglewood?
I'm in purchasing.
Okay.
So it might be that one of our clients would contact me for a part or something that they would need, and it's, you know,
okay,
how I service them and take care of their needs, I think is important to building that relationship.
Very good.
Yeah, this is Jill, and absolutely within creating that client for life, a lot of it is creating the raving fan experience. So all the way from the very first phone call until until the contract is signed through till the money is paid, right? That entire way through is huge. And like Carly said, in the servicing of them and how you treat them and how you make them feel and the process that they go through to get through all of that. And then that the client for life is truly afterwards, right? Is after that transaction goes through, how you are handling that, how you're treating them, if you're still keeping in contact with them, dripping on them, and asking for those referrals, because once you've created that raving fan experience, then they are much more likely to refer their friends and their family. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay. Is there anyone else on the call? There's probably some that have not been introduced, but I want to make sure that everyone here, especially those from with Tanglewood, have an opportunity to ask a question. But I don't want to eliminate others. I know we have about 10 more minutes or so. Who else is on the call from Tanglewood that has a question about what is coming up in August?
We have Carly and Kevin have both joined us from Tanglewood.
Okay. Okay, Kevin, you are from Tanglewood. So you're going to be working with Patrick and wrapping things up. Is that correct?
No, he's saying Kevin King, unless he's with another Kevin.
I don't know of another Kevin. We should have...
Is there another Kevin out there?
Not from Tanglewood.
Okay, I thought that. Okay, I was mistaken.
Yeah, my apologies.
Do you know if we have Delphina or Jason on the line?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So. Okay. Then those of you at Tanglewood, Carly, Nicole, and Patrick, any other thoughts or questions that we want to make sure we cover and as you all are preparing?
No, it's not my question for the day. When I joined the call, I wanted to – Patrick has asked us what we want to accomplish, on our trip to our seminar in August, and I was curious to think what he would like to see the team accomplish. From his perspective, that was my question. I'm not sure if you covered it at the very beginning. It was kind of in that area, but if there's anything specific you would like the team to gain from this.
Well, I have my thoughts. I'm just a little hesitant to share them right now. I'd like to know what the team's thoughts are on what they really want to get out of it, and then maybe provide some input, because I feel like if I were to just say, yeah, I'd like to see the team accomplish this, then it would just be my goal, and I don't want it to be my goal.
That's interesting, because I was working on it. I'm thinking, I know what my goals are, but I wonder what your goals are. I was kind of thinking, well, that's fair.
Okay, well, Carly, what would your goals be? What are your goals that you've identified that you have personally?
I mean, from my perspective, it's just to gain a deeper, better understanding of the 530 grid, which is my section, and present it in a way that, and I want more on my level, something that's easily understood. So if I can go through this process and write it in a way or present it in a way that's absolutely clear to me, I can teach it better, and I hope I can help others understand it as well. So if I can accomplish that, that would be the beginning.
So does anybody have any thoughts on how that could be, and maybe this transitions to the next segment, which is dimensional thinking and living, but does anybody have any thoughts on how to take that goal and raise it up to a little to the next dimension of more intentionality?
Carly, can you repeat your goals?
Yeah, my goal and the start in this is to go through, you know, what you've given me and different things I've learned, so I can gain a better understanding of the 530 grid and present it in a way to where others who are like me can understand it better, and hopefully gain a better understanding of it so I can grow on and make it better, you know, build on it. So, and if I can accomplish that, then that's my first step.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense.
You know, I've been struggling with this when we've talked, so I'm just trying to, you know.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
This is Richard. I'd like to contribute.
Oh, okay. Good morning,
so,
Richard.
Good morning. When you say understanding, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. What do you mean when you say a better understanding, like concretely?
Well, that's what I'm working on. I mean, right now it's a very where it's just I can do it without thinking about it. I can, you know, I practice it more without having to go back and constantly look at it and read it.
Perfect. Awesome. So, great answer.
I can implement it easier. How's that? It becomes second nature.
Yeah, exactly. How? Right. That's the target then.
Right.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Carly?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Bruce. You know, as I listen to you guys and I seen your website, I'm in love with your website. I'm wondering if you guys actually are in contact with how unique what Tanglewood offers. On a daily basis, how many houses do you walk into where there's actually a conservatory attached to it?
Not many.
No, and it's like I'm in Chicago and we have the dead of winter, and I'm picturing somebody walking into somebody else's house and then all of a sudden walking into nature. You know, and
right.
There's a feeling I think that we all get by being in nature, and you guys create that for the world. You know, and the thing about the client for life, anybody who brings any of their friends over, especially in the middle of winter, where it's cold and frozen and there's no leaves and there's no birds really, and you bring life into the house, you know, and really serenity and peace. For me, in a sense, you guys have the most exquisite opportunity to talk about creating a client for life by the very product that you offer. Does that help in any way?
It does. It's interesting.
So you all make summer last year round. So, okay. Bruce, that's a great observation. Okay, are there any other things that anyone wants to accomplish? Kevin, I know you contributed, but was there a specific question that you had this morning?
I'm good.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for jumping in. Bruce, anything specifically that you want to accomplish this morning?
I think I'm good for now, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and Richard, how about you?
One of the things that I think it was Bruce that was just talking about having a conservatory, one of the things that I really want to get I'm sorry, I was having to deal with a car thing. One of the things that I really want to get clear is the imagination. You're capturing the imagination of people and bringing it alive and bringing it to reality. And being able to do that is what I believe Tanglewood offers. Bringing people's imagination alive. And, in fact, beyond what they could ever dream possible. And once you're able to get, I believe, getting that communication across to people that they could actually live in a sanctuary or a retreat or a in their It's like a hideaway, a cozy hideaway, like that. Does that make sense? Like that image.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
The reason I say that is because when I first was introduced to Tanglewood, the things I saw were just extraordinarily above anything I could imagine.
I agree.
Shooting for that target, shooting for that type of communication, shooting for that framing of who you are for the world, like that. How can we do it? That's the question. That's it.
Okay, good. Okay, is there anything else that anyone wants to accomplish? I like this. Any specific questions that anyone has that has not been addressed or answered yet?
Yeah, Steve, this is Bruce. I remember what I was thinking. I love this question about client for life. And I think Richard's participated too. I've been doing landmark education for over 20 years, and I love landmark education, and I never made any money, but I've coached, I've done a lot of things there. So I would say I'm a client for life. And I'm thinking, you know, I've talked with Ann, and we're doing this sort of transformational junkie where we're trying to enroll people who've been participating, and that was tongue-in-cheek, that's not the slight, but there's something about that organization, other organizations, that create clients for life. And it's like, how do we transfer? And I think that Richard was touching, you know, that there's a feeling that comes, there's a fulfillment of desire. A lot of people get it in their church. You know, and in terms of us creating a client for life, you know, how do we bring that to the groups of 12 where we could confidently invite somebody and know that they're going to be well taken care of, well served, well respected, and encouraged to go forward in what it is that we're offering.
Why do you ask that question, Bruce?
Well, my experience is that while we offer that we're going to be generating something beneficial, there's been some tension, and then people come and go. So, you know, I love what we're offering, and then I want to trust that people will be well taken care of, well served.
What makes you feel like, or do you feel like people have not been well served, and what are those things?
I personally feel that if I hadn't had my prior training, I have not been well served. I've had friends that I've brought who don't come anymore. When we had the in-person meeting, there was a confrontation between Mark and somebody he had coached for a couple of years, and then that guy kind of left in a huff. And then Mark typically will say, you know, I vaporize men over 50. So, you know, it's like we're talking about becoming adept at personality mastery and working with different types of people. Are we being consistent with what we say that we're offering?
Do you ever think that there are people that don't want to be helped?
I don't think anybody doesn't want to be helped.
So I think that's a great topic, and we are actually moving into segment two, right, into dimensional living. So I love it.
Okay, let's table that, Bruce, for that there and move on. Jill, would you go ahead and wrap up what Mark likes to do at the end for us?
That's a great question. I think let's go ahead and do it. We'll just do it at the